This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, who is our special guest today?
We're in a truly unique time in human history, where the vast majority of the world's population is looking at and thinking about the same exact thing. And that is, of course, the COVID-19 or coronavirus pandemic that spread across the globe over the past several months. And it's really caused concern and uncertainty for billions of people. And that's not a quantity we get to use very often in everyday speech. We do have a special guest today to take a look at this. Now, we're not talking about the World Headquarters official response to the coronavirus pandemic. We're just looking at, it's going to be three of us, but three of the 7.6 billion people on the planet here offering some possible ways to deal with these uncertain times. We have someone who is uniquely qualified to explore this with us. Greg, why don't you actually share how this interview came to be? You heard from our guest today via Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. I'm honored the official Toastmasters podcast Twitter account. There was a direct message sent to me from none other than Johnny Campbell. And Johnny Campbell is someone that is well known to Toastmasters and well known to Toastmasters International. And we just thought, as Ryan was saying, the three of us just sitting and having a little chat. Ryan, why don't we officially introduce Johnny?
Sure, let's do that. So here he is, the transition man himself, keynote speaker, author, distinguished Toastmaster, and accredited speaker. The transition man, Johnny Campbell, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Ryan, for having me. I'm really happy to be here with you guys.
Yeah, Johnny, welcome to the podcast. You reached out of the blue to us, and I know you'd mentioned to me that you don't actually use Twitter very often. What were you thinking when you were reaching out?
Well, just given the current circumstances in the world, but then more specifically, how we as Toastmasters deal with things, I was just happened to be on Twitter. I kind of go through there and look through, and I saw a posting from you guys on there, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to have a conversation about how Toastmasters in general can think about this situation in a more effective and positive way. So I sent you a note, and I just sat back and said, well, hopefully he will read it. I'm not sure if he will, but hopefully he will read it, and we'll be able to have a conversation in the future.
Well, you're really lucky, Johnny, because Greg and I spend hours every week going through our fan mail. I mean, we just get bags and bags of it delivered to our house. So the fact that Greg happened to see that tweet was just serendipity, 100%. Johnny, I mentioned that you're uniquely qualified to talk about times of change. And in fact, one of the many times that we had you on the show was in preparation for your 2018 International Convention educational session in Chicago. The title was Embracing the Winds of Change, Adjust Your Sails. Do you want to maybe chat for a moment, sort of more broadly, about this topic of change and uncertainty, why that's so core for you and so at the heart of what it is that you speak and teach about?
My quick little background on myself, before I was a speaker for the past over 20 years, I was in corporate America and I was a part of multiple downsizings and mergers. And during that time, I was a trainer. And my job was to help the employees deal with the shifting of the culture and of the technology and of being encompassed, in other words, being acquired by a new organization. And all of those things created a lot of stress and uncertainty. And my job was to help us get through that process. As we were going through that process, I realized that the change was an event, but the transition was what we needed to go through. And then I told everyone, don't look at this as a change, but as a transition, and I shall be your transition man to get you through it. And that's how I got the name, the Transition Man.
Nice.
And so here you are today as our transition man.
Yes.
So that's perfect.
Now, Johnny, the current situation aside, I think we as humans seem to be naturally programmed to resist change. In your opinion, why do you think that's the case?
The reason that we resist change is because we weren't built to change. The reality is change is an event, situation, or thing. People were designed to transition to and through change. So just from a human nature, we are resistant of it because that's not what we were built to do. Also, when it comes to this idea of change, if we don't see how it improves us, how it makes us better, or if we don't see the opportunity within it, then we are resistant to the change that's coming at us. We end up on the other side of the change and we are either better or worse from the experience, hence the word transformed by the experience.
Right. And right now, everyone is probably seeing things as very cloudy. So that makes it even much more difficult for them to even consider embracing the change.
Exactly. And on top of that, when it comes to this change and going through it, it's all about how you see yourself, how you see the situation, and how you see yourself getting through the situation. Those are the three elements. And that's why change can be difficult and that transition is so important, but it can be tough to get started.
I think it'd be really helpful to look at this current situation through those three lenses that you just shared. You know, Johnny, I just want to play the part of the sympathetic listener here for a moment and say, Johnny, do you really understand what we're dealing with? We're not talking about just downsizing or some upheaval in corporate culture. We have people looking at, oh my gosh, am I going to get this virus? Am I going to die? Am I going to lose my parents, my loved ones, my friends, my spouse? On top of all of that, which is already pretty grave matter to begin with, am I going to lose my job? Is my company going to be around on the other side of this? Is the entire global economy going to collapse? I mean, I don't mean to be melodramatic, but these are like real things that people are concerned about and dealing with. I don't know, given the tremendous gravity and seriousness and just to the core worry that people have about this and the pure uncertainty of the situation, can you throw us a lifeline here? What was the first piece here? Is how you see yourself through it?
Yes, how you see yourself now. When you think about all of those issues together, it creates such a level of uncertainty, anxiety, and fear. And the concerns are real. But what we have to do is we have to pull apart all of those things and look at ourselves and say, what can I do, which is within my control right now? A lot of this uncertainty is a projection into the future of what could be, what might be. Your mind as a person has to be on the now. You have to live in the now right now and say, what can I do right now with my situation, with my circumstances, to move myself or my family forward today? And everything you're doing right now creates your tomorrow. But if you sit around and you think about the tomorrows today and do nothing today, you will be paralyzed and the anxiety and the stress will grow. The empowerment is in saying, okay, I realize that there's a potential to be furloughed. I realize there's a potential that this illness could infect me or my family. I realize these things, but what can I do today to prevent those things from happening or to prepare myself should those things come at me? And that's within your power, and that's where the empowerment comes from. When we think about too far into the future, we start to question everything, and we're not thinking about what we can do right now.
I see that. So I've heard this term of locus of control.
Yes.
Having an internal instead of external locus of control. And that's, I think, what you're driving at here, your own personal responsibility in the matter. Not that, you know, if someone gets the virus, it's their fault. That's not what
Correct.
You're saying at all.
No, not at all. But what can I do to prevent it from happening to me or to my family? That's the now.
Or to at least reduce the chances, right?
Yeah, well, at least reduce the chances. So that's where the control is. You could say, this is what I did right now to gain some semblance of stability and control over my current situation. That's where the empowerment is, and that's what we can do right now at this point.
So it's almost like shortening the time frame. Instead of looking from today to 6 months from now, you break it up into the individual pieces and say, okay, what can I do today? What can I do tomorrow? Make a list as to where you're at, and then take those small baby steps to move yourself forward.
Absolutely. And it's empowering to you. It gives you a sense of completion. What it does is suddenly you start to feel a sense of certainty again, because you're doing things today for today that will create your tomorrow. But you're not sitting around waiting on tomorrow, hoping that tomorrow will be better. You're making tomorrow better today.
I have to admit, I'm feeling a little bit better already. Seriously.
Well, good. I'm glad. Let me share this with you guys. It's like the old joke, the hair club for men. I'm not only selling toupees, I also am a customer. Everything I'm telling you, I'm living myself right now. I'm not telling you anything that I'm not doing right now. So this is not just me reading a book or just saying something to be saying it. I live it.
What happens when your automatic thought, your automatic brain just kicks into that panic mode and you can't seem to break away and seem to take the logical approach to it because you're in that panic mode and you're not thinking?
The first thing is, and it's easy to slip into it, but you have to catch yourself. Once you feel yourself slipping into it or you're already into it, whatever you're thinking about, you have to step away from it. You have to move back from it for a moment. But you have to catch yourself. It's kind of like getting rid of a bad habit. You know your triggers. You know what the triggers are. Now you've got to catch yourself and stop for a moment and say, let me step back on that and really think about it. So it's really more of each person, when you feel you're going down that path of negativity or high anxiety, say, wait a minute, let me step back for a moment. Let me take a break. Let me go over here to the other part of my home or sit on the patio and just recenter myself.
I'm starting to remember words of wisdom from my dad where he would say, stop, take a deep breath, count to 10, then move forward. Oh, dear.
That's the wisdom, but it's true. You got to catch yourself. And I go through it as a professional speaker. My entire book of business disappeared with a snap of a finger. And that was traumatic for someone that makes their living traveling the country delivering talks. And I had to step back and catch myself and say, although I can't travel to speak, there are other things that I can do to improve my situation and make things work. But I've got to do it today and right now.
Wow. Okay. So what's the second component of this trifecta here that you set us up for a few moments ago, Johnny?
Well, you've got yourself, you've got the situation, and you have to look at the situation that you're currently in right now. Like with COVID-19, we're in a very unusual situation. There's lots of phrases of the new normal, all of these other things here, but we have to just say, okay, what part of this do I have any control over? You know, what can I do here? Well, that's where prevention comes into play. Like we talked about, you doing the things you can to reduce your possibility of being exposed to it. You also, because of this, has affected jobs and careers. So there's a chance of being furloughed or losing your job, or you might even be working right now. And it's about, for everyone, it's a little different. That's how I look at the situation. Break it apart.
Let's look at that for a second, because I know, Johnny, as a speaker, I imagine most of your time when you're not on the road, you're at home.
Correct.
You shared with us the other day that that your wife is one of these essential workers. Do you want to talk a little bit about what she does and how maybe she's responded to that, or how you've coached her through this situation as someone who doesn't have the quote-unquote luxury of taking a break here in the midst of this?
Yes. Well, my wife actually is a Toastmaster as well, and she is an equine therapist. For those that don't know what that is, that's a individual who does physical therapy on horses. And as I always tell the joke, horses don't know it's Tuesday. In other words, animals need care no matter what day it is. For those that don't know, vets are an essential worker because of what they do for a living. And so she's involved in that industry there. And so there are many people that are called essential people, and they've worked through this whole situation here. Now, because that's my wife and we're married and all of those wonderful things, one of the things that I do, because I know she has to work every day and this is highly stressful, I cook for her. So when she comes home, I cook, because that takes that off of her. Not that she was cooking every meal before. We always split the duties, but I do more cooking now to make sure that she doesn't have to worry about that when she comes home, or even think about that when she comes home. So that's something that, as a couple, someone could do for their spouse or significant other who is an essential employee. But I've also got for you, Greg and Ryan, some other things that essential employees can do to help themselves cope with the situation. And the first one is, of course, when they get home, is to totally separate from the situation. And how do they do that? That could be through music. That could be through exercise. I've heard people talk about comedy as being a great way, watching comedies as a great way to release and to let go of that situation. Another thing an essential person can do, and everyone else can do that as well, they need a Zoom or a Skype friend if they don't have one. Someone that they can Zoom or Skype with and connect with and have a conversation outside of work with. Those things help people release. For some of my essential workers out there who are more introverted, one of the things that you can do is journal. Journal this experience that you're having right now. Journal what is going on right now. Journal what you see. Journal what you identify, because those are opportunities in the future. And that journal can become a powerful instrument for you in the future. So to journal right now would be a very powerful thing. It's something that I really believe will make a big difference. And I say that because when I was going through those mergers and acquisitions and helping people deal with everything, I journaled the experience I was having with them. That journaling became my book, it became my principles, and it became my guiding star of how I talk about change. Had I not journaled all that, I would never have remembered everything that I went through.
Well, so some of the things that you're sharing is very global in nature. It applies to everyone. But it's really interesting if we start talking a little bit about Toastmasters. I'm thinking you were talking about having a friend, someone to talk to, setting up a Skype, setting up a Zoom. We have this almost this natural global family already built in.
Yes. With the Toastmasters, that this is one thing that's so special about the organization, is that we can have these online meetings anywhere in the world. And I had the opportunity a while back to actually be on an online Toastmaster meeting before these events occurred. And this is still a wonderful way for us all to connect with one another, still have that meeting, still have that dialogue and camaraderie. So Toastmasters in itself is actually was ahead of the curve in the sense of having these online groups. And now that we do have this in place, when things get back to a place where we can meet again, we can now have an opportunity to do both actual in meetings and also online meetings at the same club, for the same club, which will allow that club to grow and expand even more and reach more people.
I think it's been absolutely fantastic. In fact, our club was up and running in a matter of a week. We're still getting some pretty good attendance, and I think it's been a great opportunity to be able to connect.
I'm also reminded of our friend Rich Hopkins. I don't know if you guys have been following. He set a goal to speak, I believe, in every district in the Toastmasters world, and it looks like he's made quite a bit of progress.
It sounds like everyone's already following Johnny's philosophy. Have that mindset, develop yourself, live in the now. That's awesome.
That's what it's all really, really all about right now. Is it's a terrible time in the world, but it's also a great opportunity for people to grow in ways that they never felt they had time to grow in. And to use this time for that professional and that personal development, and especially inside of Toastmasters, where you can really work on your skill set and hone your speaking ability in this environment. This is also that time to learn new skills that when this passes, you'll be more valuable to your employer. You'll be more valuable to your family and to your community because you took time now to develop new skills, new abilities. But then also, here's another thing that makes you valuable: connections. This is a wonderful time to reach out and make connections with individuals. Although I already knew you guys, this was an opportunity to reestablish a connection with you guys again and to try to see if there were opportunities for us to do something together. That's what this time period is offering as well. Inside of all the bad and tragedy, there are these nuggets of gold that live within there. And that's what we have to be looking for, is those opportunities, whether it's to develop new skills, make new connections, build new relationships. That is what this moment is also about. And those moments that you're doing right now, those are the ones that end up creating your new tomorrows.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about that third lens you were referring to.
How you see yourself getting through the situation. This goes back to just you yourself, like saying, okay, a lot of times when we think about getting through something, we're not really clear on what it's supposed to look like at the end. What I call that is the promised land vision. We will get through what we're dealing with right now, but we have to first say to ourselves, what is it going to look like when we get through this? That goes back to the now again. What am I doing right now to create my tomorrow? What am I doing right now as far as relationships to create my new tomorrow? Your promised land vision of what it's going to look like on the other side of this hinges on the things you're doing right now. So any vision you have at the end of all of this is based on how you see yourself right now. And as you see yourself right now, that's what's going to drive you through what I call the transition. Because every day you say, I'm going to do this and this and this. Well, that's moving you through the transition process. And then when we get to the other side, all the things you were doing every day is what allowed you to get through and get to the other side.
Wow. Sage advice.
Like I said before, if this is something that I live, as I tell everybody, this is my own rules of engagement. This is what I've shared with companies and people and corporations for years. But I find that now they're ready to receive, Ryan and Greg, what I'm talking about. I've always been here saying this, but I think that the moment has finally come where this is something people are ready to receive. I'll give you a quick example. I had a dear friend that was in business. He was an insurance professional, and he had a stroke, and he was paralyzed. And then when I saw him a year later, he was up, moving around, had full mobility and everything. And I asked him the question. I said, now, you were paralyzed, right? He said, yep, I had a stroke, could not move. You know, how did it happen? How did you get yourself back? All he said was, every day I thought about raising up out of bed. That's all I thought about. That's all I focused on, was raising up. And he said, when I finally raised up, all I thought about was swinging my legs off the bed. That's all I thought about. That's all I worked on. And then finally he said, when I could raise up and swing my legs up, all I thought about was standing up. And he said, I didn't think about walking out of the hospital. I just thought about what I needed to do to get to the next step. That was how he slowly got himself back from the stroke. And I realized that that was life as well. We have to think about what we have to do right now to get us to the next step. When we think too far ahead, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear and doubt and worry. But when we think about what we can do right now, we become very powerful people, very empowered and very resourceful. When all we're thinking about is what we need to do right now. That became part of my process of helping people.
Yeah, slowly but surely wins the race. Johnny, as our time comes to an end, perhaps you can share with us how people can get a hold of you if they want to find out a little bit more about the agent of change and the transition man.
Oh, yeah, happy to do that. If anyone has any interest in connecting with me, they can, of course, email me, johnny@transitionman.com. They could call me at 630-460-3279, and I'll surprise you because I'll answer the phone. Then, of course, if you're interested in any of my educational materials or online trainings that I have in this area, you can go to riseupandwin.com/change, C-H-A-N-G-E. There you will see my course materials on what I've been talking about here with you guys. But if a person has a question for me or is interested in the course and wants to talk to me about what else they might need, then please email me, johnny@transitionman.com. And then finally, for those that want to be a speaker, you email me and I'll send you a link to a course I created. If you want to be a better presenter, you email me and I'll send you a link to a course I created on being a better presenter called Win the Crowd. So those are the things that I have for my fellow Toastmasters. I've been a Toastmaster for 19 years, became a DTM in 2.5 years, became an accredited speaker. The Toastmaster is just a special place in my life, and I'll always be a Toastmaster.
I almost feel like we have to play some theme music right now. Johnny the Transition Man, we just need some theme music.
I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come on here and share. I hope that what I've had to share has been a benefit to my fellow Toastmasters around the world.
Well, you carry the theme music within, Johnny. That's really clear. I just want to say a word to our listeners that, you know, Johnny Campbell, he just gave you his email address. He just gave you his phone number. But I want to challenge you, embrace the opportunity, embrace this unique time of change where an in-demand speaker would just give out his phone number and email just like that and say, go ahead, contact me. This is a unique time. Johnny's a unique person. And why don't you be a unique listener who steps out of themselves and does something that maybe you've never done before?
Johnny Campbell, thank you very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. All the best to you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.